Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, John. Good shooting. Not bad for an old 50-year-old.
Oh, man, my trigger finger is just as itchy and fast as it was the day I'm born. I'm John Kurlinski.
I am Stan Hudson. We want to welcome you to an episode of
Sink the Beagle, where we take lighthearted looks at the serious issues of evolution and creation, lighthearted because it's the only way we can do it.
That's right. And it's too fun. Just simply too fun.
And but, Stan?
Yes?
I want to talk about something today.
John, on your 50th birthday, I think it's appropriate for you to pick the topic.
We're talking about the end of evolution.
The end of evolution.
You know, since we always go with origins and beginnings, but the reality is that the beginning also makes a prediction about the end.
Okay.
And if you follow one of the major ends of evolution when you look at it, mm-hmm. in other words, can evolution be prophetic? As a theory. And it does. If you take the predictive Big Bang as its origin of All material right. existence, the Big Crunch is one of the theories thrown out as the end. In other words, all this material world does is expand and then contract. When it contracts, it goes into the Big Crunch.
The Big Bang exploded, and here we have the universe, but at some point the universe is going to contract back into a Big Crunch.
Or it will just kind of just peter on out on itself and stop.
Stop, okay.
But if it stops, it's everything just the big chill and the freeze. It's all okay. the lights burn out and all the...
Assume room temperature.
All the stars assume okay. room temperature. All of its right. energy is used up and there is no more.
Okay, that's the end. That's one end.
That's the nihilistic end. That's really, when you look at it philosophically, is evolution's end. Evolution's end says you were purposeless in your origin, and you are meaningless in your existence, and your destiny is nothing.
You came from nothing, and you are on your way fast toward nothing. Huh?
Niet to niet, as the Russians would say. Not quite that way, but...
Well, how about, is this sort of summarized in the great human philosophy of eat, drink, and be merry?
Yeah,
for tomorrow we have a big crunch.
Tomorrow we have a big crunch, and we don't have insurance to cover it. No, really, there's many, you know, people are out there all over, and science doesn't even, the science, though, that's the end of the universe as we know it. But really, when you look at the end of the Earth,
okay.
science offers quite a few godless scenarios
okay.
about our demise.
How we're going to end up. Okay, you want to rattle off some prophecies?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Scientific. I like some of my favorites. One of my favorites is the gamma ray burst of doom ending.
The gamma ray burst of doom.
In other words, gamma rays are these rays that just wipe out everything. There's not a speck of snot left anywhere in this world, Stan.
Sizzle, sizzle.
You won't find snot or pond scum or anything left. When I read about that, I said, this is going to kill everything, and it's going to hurt.
Didn't gamma rays kind of, didn't they start things, or didn't gamma rays help along the way? Who knows?
Okay. Who knows? Well, they say the gamma ray burst is not a good thing for life.
It's not a good thing. A burst of gamma rays.
Even the cockroaches will probably die, too.
We're not talking x-rays. Oh, well, cockroaches, well, see, now, I thought you would get around to some good news.
Okay, well.
There's the rosy lining.
That was one end, and that's not real likely to happen. But if it does, the good news is, if it happens, it ain't going to matter.
That's true.
It happens fast and hard and kabooey, and we're gone.
That's right. Just like the dinosaurs.
What do you like for an end scenario? You have any that you've ever looked at or thought about or heard about?
Well, you know, you have some others. You have ones like the sun basically, you know, going out, you know, fizzling out, and then we were getting pretty cold. And
nippy.
I think they said
nippy.
That's a few years off, but, you know, okay, there's that.
Okay, the sun kind of wimping out of doom.
You know, the Bible even talks about the sun waxing old, so I guess there's...
I'm getting tired, too. I'm getting old.
You're waxing old, John.
Yeah, I'm sympathetic with that old sun there. Me and Mr. Sunshine.
You know, you have, let's see, what else have you got? An asteroid hit is pretty popular.
Ooh,
they
that's
make
a
movies.
Fun one. Yeah, you can see it coming. We call Bruce Willis.
And Bruce Willis will assemble a team.
Stan. We need the team. We got to start assembling the team. The Hollywood team to save the universe.
Bruce Willis to direct a team of saviors for the world. Astronauts trained to go put atomic charges on asteroids coming our way, you know, and that would save us. A good-sized asteroid hit would probably ruin a lot of people's days.
That would probably be true. You know, another one that is popular out there is the pandemic of doom, disease of doom. And they have several that qualify, but like you can kind of choose from column A, column B, column C.
What
choose
are in those columns? Disease. Give me a couple possibilities.
Well, yeah, the mad cow disease. Get all that resurrect the bad beef industry, and you know,
angry cows running.
Angry
amok.
Cows. No, or you have the one that's really drumming up. Actually, it's never come to be, but the SARS, the bird flu pandemic of doom.
The birds of doom coming. You know, we've heard of birds of happiness, but these are not birds of.
These
happiness.
Are birds of doom. And actually, the irony is mm-hmm. that women and children and old elderly are the most affected by those kinds of things. They tend to be the first to go.
Well, the Bible talks about pestilences in the last days.
Yeah.
So, okay.
That's one of the theories.
Okay.
They have others out there. You have things like killer storms of doom, which just keep multiplying and getting worse as man has trashed his worth. And they assume
global warming run amok.
And leading up to tsunamis and tornadoes and earthquakes of doom.
All these of doom. What else are there?
You have all these. I think one of the ones, Stan, out there, lurking.
What's
you know
lurking?
How they love to lurk. No, lurking what? Out there is the rodents of doom.
Rodents of doom.
Specifically, squirrels of doom.
Squirrels of doom.
You know, well, listen, Stan. Before you take it too lightly, I've been on the website. You know, and it's amazing what pictures you can find. Well, I found a picture. It actually shows the Amish training suicide bomber squirrels. And I saw Osama bin Squirrel.
Okay.
He looks like a tough customer, man. He's sitting there with his turban and his squirrel. There was a squirrel. I mean, this is better in picture than it is on radio. But imagine this one here. It shows a squirrel with a bow and arrow, you know, a little a quiver of arrows. And it shows a dead lion laying there with an arrow in its chest. A small little arrow shot by the squirrel.
So you say these squirrels are organizing and they're behind the scenes.
They're behind the scenes really causing the ones that are kind of scary, the lightsaber squirrels. There's the XKJB with the AK-47 squirrels of doom. You know, there's quite a few squirrels
John,
of doom
you,
out there.
And you should even, fear
even
this,
at the,
John.
Even at my current place of occupation, the Union College squirrels of doom. They build their nests strategically over sidewalks. They gather the scrunchies that fall out of the lady's hair and probably use them for launchers. Who knows? You just got to be careful.
Yeah, John, you should be careful. You're a nut, and they'll go after you first, bud.
Anyway. No, there's lots of doomsday scenario out there, Stan, and, and we just let the audience know that science has offered there's not much hope.
Not much hope in evolution's prediction.
Well, it's not all it's cracked up to be anyway if you're a scientist, because if you didn't have any purpose in your origin or any meaning in your existence today, why should you have any hope for destiny as something that's beyond, you know, what you are now?
And really, if you think about it, John, so many people need desperately hope to operate on. Hope is what we all need to have in our future, or we run out of energy to face tomorrow. I mean, if it's true that one of these dooms are going to be etched in stone and that's our end, I mean, that sure takes a whole lot of the joy and meaning out of life.
Well, that's what I guess the really joy and meaning don't matter if you're evolutionary or materialist. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just kind of temporary human interpretation of personal existence and circumstances. Man.
Oh, just basically nice thoughts to help you, kind of like a teddy bear or a warm blanket to clutch.
Yeah,
while
a warm glass of milk and some cookies, and let's go to bed.
Okay, and then.
Well, but Stan, what does the Bible say? The Bible does speak of the world ending, doesn't it?
Yeah, and actually talks about global warming in a very specific way.
Share a
John.
torpedo. show text with our listeners today. And
Second Peter 3:10, and this talks about the day of the Lord coming, and that it will come. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. And the elements will melt with fervent heat.
Ooh.
Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up.
Ooh.
Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? And dissolved elements burned
fried,
up. It sounds like
global warming, but a different type,
manifold.
Yeah.
So this appears to be the end. Well, there's not a lot of hope in that, John, either, for that matter.
But it does say, though, it makes a very you kind of read through, but it says,
leave something out?
No. It says, what sort of people ought you be?
Oh, okay.
In other words, apparently, there's two destinies that are awaiting.
Okay.
In other words, if you are on the one side, last week we talked about fence straddlers.
Yes.
I mean, if you're on the side of God,
mm-hmm.
it's His coming that brings on the heat, all the endings and stuff. If you're on the right side, it's a good thing.
It actually starts a new series of beginnings, doesn't it?
Yeah, the day of the Lord comes, and you know, in that day when Jesus comes, He comes in a for His elect, and He brings rewards. The Book of Revelation mm-hmm. says, and mm-hmm. some rewards aren't bad things. They reward for a certain way the relationships you formed with Him and how you live with other people. And rewards for those who just live for themselves. And they both get a, quote, reward. One's not such a, what you'd consider a positive thing, but one is a positive.
Well, if you think about it, you know, it's God simply saying, you didn't want to have faith. You didn't want to have the hope I offered. You didn't want to connect with me and find some answers. You didn't want to seek me, even though I've been reaching out to you and speaking to you and offering you every possible good news of hope that I could offer. You chose a future without me, and therefore there will be no future for you. And it's not like, and of course, John, you and I have talked about global warming. We joke about it, of course, that God will destroy the world with fire. But you and I don't believe that the Bible describes that the place of those who have rejected God will be a place of eternal torment with burning and fire going on forever and ever. We don't think the Bible talks about that, but it does talk about a very nice and beautiful place of hope for those who do accept God's gracious invitation.
Yeah, just a few verses down, it says, but we, according to his promises, are looking for a new heavens and new earth wherein righteousness dwells.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the hope that each of us can have and can carry with us as we await that day. And we don't have to wait it with fear. It's with an anticipation, a joyful mm-hmm. anticipation, when all suffering ends.
Well, the world will not be destroyed by an asteroid. It will not be destroyed by the big crunch from, you know, the opposite of the Big Bang.
Even no matter how vicious and fierce those squirrels look,
even
be
squirrels,
not afraid.
You need not fear the squirrels of doom in your neighborhood. Instead, you can have hope and look for a brighter future that God has indeed got coming very, very soon. Very, very soon. And
evolution
that
will
we need
finally
that.
End because we will all be changed.
Oh, evolution
in a moment
again. We're going to be changed.
Of an eye.
But in the moment and twinkling of an eye. Doesn't sound like long age to me there, John.
And so mm-hmm. and so that's what we have to look forward to.
Yes, and I kind of like that ending a little better than the squirrels of doom.
Yep.
I'd just as soon not worry about those little guys.
So tune in again on another Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.